Hello and welcome to the Business Innovation Show, where we talk with innovators, startup founders, angels, venture capitalists, incubators, project managers, and even scientists on their journey to create great products. Here's your host, Anirban Biswas.
Hi, this is Anirban Biswas. Those who don't know me, I work with initial stage startups who are looking for product validation and help them reach market fit and strategize for future growth.
Listeners, today I have a cybersecurity specialist who started his life from a small town called Shahganj in Madhya Pradesh and now have built a security information and event management tool called Securin. This tool is now being used by none other than Indian Army to monitor various networks. Please welcome Utkarsh Bhargava, founder and CEO of Securin from Bhopal.
Thank you, Anirban, for the wonderful introduction. And I'm pleased to be with you over this podcast. Thanks again.
And thanks, Utkarsh, for your time today. Now, Utkarsh, we will be talking IT security and data breaches mainly in India. Our data shows India lost close to $1.9 million, which is about 12 crores, due to data breaches in the year 2017 only. Which are the industries suffering the most for lack of IT security, you think?
The data that you are talking about is like India lost 1.9 million. That's not accurate. India lost more money than this this statistics, right? If I talk about a data breach in 2007, in a single day, India, we lost 14 crore rupees. That too in 2017. So in one day, 14 crore rupees, in the whole year, 1.9 million or 12 crore rupees. I'm not getting it, right? So they're losing a lot of money. We don't know actually. We don't have enough measures to identify how much money we have lost, how much it is impacting our businesses, industries, and operations. When it comes to industries, for hackers, easy targets are e-commerce and fintech industries, right? Fintech startups actually. These people don't focus more on cybersecurity. They just talk about the compliances. They just want to fulfill the compliances. After that, they really don't care about the security, what exactly going on and what not. And they end up losing their customers' trust, their money and what not. So e-com, fintech, even though manufacturing units and construction companies are facing cyber attacks. In 2016, a company, I won't share the name. It is one of the biggest construction company in Madhya Pradesh. They faced a cyber attack. The hackers encrypted whole their IT infrastructure, which is somewhere around 80 plus servers, and demanded a ransom. And these people paid somewhere around 2 crore rupees of ransom to those hackers to get their data back. This is how things are going on nowadays.
Right. So in most of the this security breaching incidents, what we found is that the time lag between the happening of the incident and the detection is pretty high. There's a time lag, you know, between these. Is it possible to do something like a real-time fraud detection?
Yeah, it is possible. We can detect cyber threats in real time, but for that we have to move forward, right? We can't rely on firewalls, IDS systems, or any other like data loss prevention software and other traditional cybersecurity methods. For that we need to have a team and required tools like SIEM solution. We have a team of security analysis. These people will work 24/7 and monitor every single data packet into your network, every single activity into your server, into your application, into your database. And why this is the only way you can detect the cyber threats in real time. If you're not doing this, then there's no way to counter the cyber threats. Your firewall can't do anything. It's just an exposure list, nothing more than that.
So another study shows that human error is causing just 28% of the data breaches, whereas the malicious or criminal attacks are about 42%. So that clearly shows criminal activities are on rise, and just another firewall is just not going to help any businesses. So what are the tools you suggest that can be really useful?
You are talking about like cyber attacks.
The criminal activities.
Yeah, criminal activity is somewhere around 42%. If I talk about internet traffic, 58% of internet traffic is bot traffic, or we can say it's a malicious traffic. These bots are continuously looking for particular ports or services into your systems or network, and when they find it, they report it to their bot lords. Bot lords are actually people who control those bots, and then they hack into your system. So firewall is not going to help. It's just access control list, nothing more than that. What tools can help you? Ultimately, like, see, whatever you have is not enough. Cybersecurity is not a destination, it's a process. In the same way that armies work, armies patrol your borders continuously 24/7. In the same way, you have to monitor your network 24/7 continuously, right? And for that, you need to have a SIEM solution which will monitor every single activity into your network. And the biggest thing in SIEM is it's dynamic in nature, right? Firewall is something static. DLP is static. IDS systems are static. They can't take decisions. But when it comes to SIEM solutions, they are dynamic. They will collect the data, show you the statistics, show you the graphs, and you will have all the information. Okay, this is something going on wrong, or people are attacking this particular port or service, or someone is trying to scan your system. These information can't be shared by the firewall or DLP solution. Right? This is how we can.
My next question is going to be exactly on this security information and event management solutions, like SIEM solutions that you were talking about. You have developed Secureit, right? Yeah. So tell us more about Secureit. I'm sure it works, you know, 24/7, 365, monitors the networks and all. So tell us something more about Secureit.
See, if I start from the beginning, we were working on GDPR. We were providing GDPR services to a client, and they were looking for something which can help them comply with the Article 32 of the GDPR. Which demands continuous monitoring of your IT infrastructure, right?
Right.
Out of Article 32, you can't be compliant with the GDPR. And at that time, or even today, whatever SIEM solutions were available or are available in the market are hell-like costly. So a small or medium-sized business cannot afford the SIEM solution. They cost you in millions, right? So my client demanded, like, can you help us in developing a SIEM solution? Which we can deploy into a network and monitor every single thing. And I thought, okay, we can do it. And we started working on it. Right? Initially, we used some open source solution. We were not serious about that, that SIEMWALA idea in initial early days. We were like, okay, the client is demanding, let's do it and leave it. But soon I realized that, okay, this has a lot of potential. The market is over there, the demand is over there, but no one is there to fulfill that demand, right? SIEM solutions were their market, but they all are targeting the big companies who are making millions and billions of dollars. They can pay the fee, but the small and medium sized sector, that's completely burden. No one was over there to help them or support them. So I decided, okay, we will take it forward, develop a full SIEM solution and serve this particular sector. So when it comes to securing, it is a complete SIEM solution. It has file integrity monitoring, it has vulnerability assessment, it has log analysis, it has event correlation. Now we have remote and live forensics. This is something some market leaders don't have. That's something we are working on continuously. We are more focused to threat hunting. We are not we are more focused on threat don't come to you. Like every single, suppose a malware installed into your system. It won't generate logs for that. So it's not easy to detect that attack. Or APT attacks, they cannot be detected as they do not generate any kind of log files. So in such a case, you need to have forensics capabilities which can help you to identify what exactly is going on inside your processor, inside your memory, what is stored into your database, so that you can identify what is over there and can find out if there's any kind of malicious activity going on into your network. So this is how we are working nowadays. And other features are also there, like I already mentioned file integrity monitoring, right? And a lot more things are there. I need to open up the PPT actually.
No problem. So Utkarsh, whenever we talk about SIEM solutions, the big companies like Darktrace come in our mind, the blue carbon security and all. So can we compare Securin with the world-leading SIEM tools?
See, I have never heard about Blue Karma or Dark Trace. When it comes to market leaders, we have HP ArcSight, we have IBM QRadar, we have Splunk, we have Alien Vault. And yes, we can compare securing with these market leaders. We are nowhere behind, we are nowhere lagging behind these tools, right? They are good with machine learning. We don't have machine learning as of now. We are working on it. But when it comes to remote forensics or real-time forensics, we are far more better than these tools. They don't come up with remote forensic facilities, or you can't perform a live forensics into there. Along with that, technology compatibility. They have their own limitations when it comes to technology. But when it comes to securing, we are compatible with every other technology. You can do whatever you can collect the logs from any source, and securing will analyze those logs just like easily. Like you don't have to do a lot of, you don't have to install the plugins and all. Just push the logs and it will do all the rest of the job. Right.
So AI and machine learning is the future for security, right?
See, machine learning cannot replace the SIEM tools, right? The reason is we are using machine learning just to detect the pattern, nothing more than that. AI cannot detect the attack. To detect the attack, you need to have the threat data, or you need to have the IOCs. IOCs are indicator of compromise. So we are collecting all these data, threat intelligence data, and using that data to detect the cyber threats. Machine learning or artificial intelligence are good for detecting the patterns, actually. Or DDoS attacks. By the way, you do not require machine learning to detect the DDoS attack. That can easily be detected using your normal tools.
So, coming to the business part of it, like the Indian cybersecurity market size is about to grow to about $25 billion by 2025. So, I'm sure you must be preparing to get a lion's share of this, aren't you?
See, I'm not only focusing in Indian cybersecurity market. I have a global vision, right? As I said, we are targeting SMBs. So SMBs across the planet do not have proper security measures. They are mostly like dependent on firewalls or antivirus, anti-malware, DLP solutions. Whatever their vendors are providing them, they are completely dependent on them. So we are like, we are trying to capture the whole globe, right? And for that, we are appointing resellers, MSSPs across the planet. As of now, we have 7 MSPs across 4 countries, and we are continuously growing our partner market. So these, we will appoint the partners. These partners will work across the planet and will help the SMBs to battle with the cyber criminals. I hope I use the right word.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm again coming back to the Indian business. Like, I found huge reluctance in mainly the small, medium businesses in India adopting IT security measures. So do you think the traditional mindset of Indian entrepreneurs causing harm to their business in long run?
Not just Indian entrepreneurs, also the Indian government as well. I'm dealing with government organization nowadays. I deal with the IAS officers, IPS officers, and they really don't care about the cybersecurity thing. Even though central government asks all the government departments to have a CISO. CISO is Chief Information Security Officer. But when it comes to state government of Madhya Pradesh, only one department has CISO, and rest of the departments are running without the CISO. If you check out the websites of the government departments, they don't even use SSL certificates. They have hosted their website on some random servers, and they have a lot of vulnerabilities. This is how government is working, and they have shared, like, they are collecting the public data from all these stuff, from a vulnerable website. They are collecting the public data. They are collecting your banking information. They are collecting your Aadhaar number, PAN card number, whatnot. They don't have any security. They really don't care. When you talk to them about security, and they say, "Kaun hack karega?" And like, if I talk about Madhya Pradesh Cricket Association, I should not take their name, but their website is hacked from since last 1 year.
Can you?
If you open their website, it was hacked last year, and till now they didn't recover it. They really don't care about the website. They're okay. That's fine. When there will be a cricket match in Indore, we will see what to do.
I'm sure.
Project, they are pretty much aware about the security. But the something like security is really expensive thing, right? Even if I say like I'm providing you security at $6,000 or $10,000, that too is costly for Indian startups or entrepreneurs. They don't have enough money to like put into cyber security, right? And they really don't have firewalls as well. They are just running. Okay, that's perfectly fine. They have a AWS ka server and they're happy with that. Now things are working.
Things are working, yeah, absolutely. I do agree. Okay, last question for you today, Utkarsh. I came across a few fresh engineers who are interested in network security and ethical hacking. So what would be your suggestions for them to build a career on this?
See, very first thing they should learn is network, then operating system. If they have sound knowledge of both these stuff, they can jump into any domain of computer science. It can be software development, it can be database development, it can be cyber security, it can be network security, it can be network architect, whatever. You need to have a really strong base of computer science. What people are doing nowadays, they think about, okay, let's learn Java, let's learn PHP, let's learn Python. No, this is not going to work. You must know how the computer system is working. If you know, then the whole, you can jump into any domain of computer science.
Correct.
Network is first thing. Second is operating system. Learn two things very well. If you know, then rest of the things are easy. Programming is not a big job. It's just when it comes to programming, it's all about libraries, syntax, and functions. Nothing else is out there. Whatever language you have, every language has its own syntax, its own libraries, its own functions. That's all. You won't find anything more than that.
Alright, Utkarsh, thanks so much for your time today, and it was great talking to you on this podcast. I wish all the best to you and Securin for the future.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Anirban. And thanks a lot for this wonderful opportunity.
Thank you.
Alright, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Business Innovation Show. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to visit www.anirbanbiswas.com for more on business and innovation. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode. Thank you for tuning in.